I'd like to turn to the Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 33. No, I'm sorry. Verse 31. Begin at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Have you ever asked yourself that question? There's a little word there, if. I have, in times of distress, trial, perhaps, I've asked myself, is God really for me? And I'm sure each one of us, in our trials and difficulties, which we all have to some degree, particularly in the last few months, that we ask that question, if God be for us, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, beloved saints of God, He is for us. We don't need to question that at all. Of course, when the trials come, we become enfeebled by it. We begin to look around. We begin to look within. We begin to look at others. We begin to look at man. But that little phrase, if God be for us, who can be against us? And I want to go at the end of this chapter, but just notice, is God for us? He certainly is, because we find here so many verses that could be read, but I want to turn to a few verses in the Psalms to fit in with this. But it says, he that spared not his own son, in verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not give us all things? That is not what it says, is it? How shall he not with him give us all things? In the trials, do I forget his matchless and marvelous grace? Have I forgotten all that he went through and on the cross there where he suffered those untold agonies for my sins? You know, dear saints of God, God could not give you or me anything apart from the fact that we belong to Christ. And it says, he has spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? With him. That's right, Michael. It's with him and in no one else. Oh, to my soul, this is exceedingly precious. Because this poor individual couldn't have anything apart from Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's many more verses that could be read here, because it's a challenge, isn't it, to all that might come in the pathway of which we found even as of today. We find in our pathway many things that concern us. We find many things that discourage us. But as we look up, we see that Blessed One still on the throne, still there, and He's there without one of your sins or mine. They're gone. Does He love us? He has proved that love in so many ways. I think sometimes when we think of this, sometimes we repeat these things over and over, and sometimes I think we forget the preciousness, the eternity, the glorious work that the Lord Jesus did on the cross for us. But not only so, this very moment, He's living for you, and for you, and for me. He hasn't forgotten us at all. He is for us, not only in His death. I think of that, I was going over this some time back, He's for us in the death of His Son. He is for us in the resurrection of His Son. He's for us also in the gift of the Holy Ghost. before us in presenting to us His precious word and the Spirit of God and His goodness. Is God for us? Indeed He is. And if you go to the end of this chapter, we find that everything is challenged. It says, the first thing is, who is he that condemneth? Have you ever been, some have condemned those that seek to go on the road. Have you ever been condemned? I have. But who can condemn me? It says, Christ, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Very interesting, too, to know that you will never have peace until you see not only that Christ has died for you, but that you have died with Christ. That is peace. That's the difference between life and peace. I look at the cross of Christ and I say, He died for me. That's the Red Sea. But then I come to Jordan and I cross that Jordan. And now I say, I died for you. That is peace. That is peace. Peace to the soul. And so we see here, not only it says, He that Christ died, but rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who now he maketh intercession for us. And then he speaks, he brings up the thought of separation. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Can anything? And he challenges all this tribulation, distress, persecution. Have you ever had these things? I have. I'm sure you have too. Can this separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? No. Nothing. Nakedness or peril or persecution or famine. We have the outward things, and then we also have the inward things, the inward powers that come in. And I believe we're affected by that. Also, there's the outward thing. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness. Those are outward things, aren't they? Not too many of us know much about that. But now we come down to verse 38. And it says, For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor powers, nor principalities, nor powers, nor angels, nor things present, nor things to come. These are the inward things, are they not? And they separate us from the Lord of God now. No, not at all. Well, I just want to go over to Psalm 56. You see David here in his distresses. Psalm 56, and in the caption we find that it's the chief musician upon Jonathan and so on, a mictan of David, when the Philistines took him to Gath. And David cries. He cries and he says, Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. What cry this is. Here's David, and it was literally so with David, wasn't it? Man seeking to swallow him up. And is it not so that there are the powers of evil that would seek to deter us and turn us aside and give us discouragement and disheartenment in the very world in which we find our lot cast here? And the Lord Jesus is our precious Savior and Lord. He said, For man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Beloved saints, the enemy will never give up. Never, never give up. It says, David could say here, he fighting daily oppressive. Our dear brother, we were speaking about breakfast this morning. You know, our warfare is not a skirmish. Remember this, beloved saints. And as we go on, and some of the younger ones here, as you go on in the truth of God, if you're desirous to please God, you're going to find that it is not just a skirmish that you can have today and tomorrow go on without any further troubles or trials. It is one long battle. It's warfare. Satan is attacking from every end. And he's attacking those that will desire to please God. So don't be discouraged by by that and think that perhaps we've won the victory today and tomorrow, well, it's all over for tomorrow. No, that is not so. It's one battle. It's one warfare going on all through our pathway here. And it will never end until the Lord Jesus comes, as our brother's been reminding us. The coming of the Lord could take place this very day. No, we'd be free of all these objections and all these things. But I just want to point out here a few things in connection with David. I don't want to take all the time, but it says, my enemies would daily swallow me up, for they'd be many that fight against me. Oh, thou most. He's crying to God. He's crying to Jehovah. Help me. You know. And he literally had enemies. It was those that sought his life. He was sought, as it says, as a partridge upon the mountains. And the enemy would seek to turn us aside. It isn't the same. We don't find the same persecution in David. Not in this land, at least. We're not threatened with a machine gun. We're threatened by the cleverness of the enemy. That's the fiery darts that are getting in and seeking to turn us aside. But I just want to show you here that the Lord, then David begins to see, he's crying here, he says, in verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I like that. I think that's beautiful. He comes back to the thought of God. He said, at what time I'm afraid, how can we trust in thee? Are we doing that? Are we fearful of the enemy's work? Well, let's trust the Lord. Let's go back, get back to the basics again. That precious truth, we've been reminded, gathered to that precious name, the name of the Lord Jesus. He said he is. Has he left? No, he has not. He has not. He's still there. He's the center. He's the gathering center. And so David here, he says, at what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words, all their thoughts are against me. Isn't that a picture of what we find even in our own lives, in our own pathways today? In a different way, of course. They're not seeking us with guns, but they're seeking to cast aside and follow the Lord Jesus in the path of evil, because they want to get us occupied with men. But just go down, go down to verse 7. There's much more to be said about this. Verse 10. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust, and I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. What comes? Isn't this encouraging? It is to my own soul that I can get up in the morning, get down on my knees and say, in God I put my trust. He is my stay. He's my friend. He's my glory. What confidence this is. And nothing can turn it aside unless we get looking around. But then notice what it says. Verse 12, thy vows are upon me, O God, I will render praises unto me. It's interesting, isn't it, that David, as he cries to the Lord for mercy, he begins to see then, he begins to look at the Lord, and then he says, I will render praises unto thee. And notice the last verse, 13, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. That's eternal. Thou hast delivered my soul from death. The Lord Jesus has already been through Calvary's cross. He's wrought a work for me. And as I look at that cross, I say, Lord Jesus Christ, pour it all for me. And he's my Savior and my Lord. Each one of us who have confessed, Lord, and taken him as our Savior, is he not able to keep our feet intact? Yes. But again, I go back to our brother's thought of assimilating, making the Lord, putting the Lord Jesus first. To whom shall we go? He is able. Not only he was able to save me from death, but he's also able to deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light. That's my soul. These are just precious. They're very simple things. But I think as we read the precious word of God, we see how that we would just be encouraged if we see not only that Christ died for us, that he rose again, that he's seated at God's right hand, he's living for us, coming for us, he's keeping us, in the way. Remember, Moses said, show me now thy way. Show me now thy way. And the Lord said to Moses, come over here and stand beside me on this rock. Here's where I want you. Beloved saints, that's where the Lord wants us. On the solid rock beside you.